shown forth with purified effulgence, just like peaceful sages who have given up all material desires and are thus freed of all sinful propensities. Purport. When the clouds are filled with water, they are dark and cover the sun's rays. Just as the material mind of an impure man covers the soul shining within. But when the clouds pour down their rain, they become white and then brilliantly reflect the shining sun. Just as a man who gives up all material desire and sinful propensities becomes purified and then brilliantly reflects his own soul, the supreme soul within. Translation for this third. During this season, the mountains sometimes release their pure water and sometimes did not. Just as expert in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes don't. The first part of this chapter describes the rainy season, and the second part has been dealing with the autumn season, which begins when the rain stops. During the rainy season, water always flows from the mountains, but during the autumn, the water sometimes flows and sometimes does not. Similarly, great saintly teachers sometimes speak expansively on spiritual knowledge and sometimes they are silent. The self-realized soul is closely in touch with the supreme soul, and according to his desire, a competent spiritual scientist may or may not describe the absolute truth depending on the specific circumstances. This chapter describes rainy season, Sarat Kal, and then rainy season, Varsha Kal, and then Sarat Kal, this is called autumn. So, see, this description about the Sarat Kal. You know, the previous verse described talks about the purification by devotional service. Sarat Kal, out of 4 months, this is Chaturmas, 2 months is rainy season. Beginning of 2 months is rainy season, Shravan and Bhadrapada, 2 months, and then Ashwin and Kartik, the remaining 2 months is autumn season. Sarat Kal, purification of whole atmosphere during the Sarat Kal, autumn, is compared purification by Bhakti Yoga. We know we can purify our existence by different means. Yoga, Gyan is also, by Gyan we can purify our existence. A living entity can purify himself. And yoga, this is also very much conducive, helpful for our purification. As well as Vairagya, detachment. That is, by detachment also, vairagya also, we get certain type of purification. Tapasya is also purify our existence. And then other things, sodharma palan. Like if someone is grihastha, he is practicing according to religious principle of a grihastha, a brahmachari, a celibate, he has kept a vow of celibacy. That is also a certain type of purification. But Srimad Bhagavatam describes especially this part of Srimad Bhagavatam that purification by yoga, jnana, or vairagya, or tapasya, or even sodharma palan, it is not complete. It is not by those processes we can purify ourselves completely, and same time that type of purification is temporary, it is not permanent. But when a living entity is purified by bhakti, devotional service, then his purification is complete and same time is permanent. So that previous verse talks about, especially like simply by taking, when we engage ourselves, anyone engages himself in the devotional service, immediately he is purified. And then he talks about brahmachari. He becomes free from all trouble, completely purified. Then grihastha also become purified simply by taking shelter of devotional service. And then vanaprastha, and eventually sannyas. So, greatest pain, especially for a sannyasi or a person who is in renounced art of life, the greatest pain is to be bereft of bhakti. If it's not, completely engaged in devotional service, that's the greatest pain. And other ways to say that, as long as a sannyasi, person who is in renounced order of life, the greatest pain for him that he maintains of material desire, vasana, as long as a sannyasi or person who is posing himself the renounced order of life, if he has material desire, he is contaminated by material desire, then this is considered to be the greatest pain for a sannyasi or vanaprastha. So if someone engages himself in devotional service, immediately he becomes purified, freedom from all material desire, and immediately he becomes very much blissful. And this verse, these two verses, sarvasvam jalada hitva virejuh subhravarchasa. In Saratkal, in the rainy season, always, almost every day, it is raining, rain takes place. But when Saratkal comes, then sometimes it rains and sometimes doesn't. In Sarat, in Varshakal, rainy season, clouds are always full of water in the sky. But when once it is rain, sarvasvam jalada hitva, jalad, water, that he possession, water is his wealth, and then he distributes the water, pours water on the earthly planet. So this type of, he renounces everything, all his position, immediately the clouds become subhra varchasa, becomes very much brilliantly. As long as water is there in the cloud color is blackish. When it rains, after raining, it becomes white. And then it becomes very much effulgent. Yatha tat aishanah shanta munayo mukta kilmisa. Similarly, here Sukadeva Goswami described that when muni, saintly person, when he becomes free from ishana, vasana, desire for sense gratification, immediately he becomes very much glorious. Mukta kilvishah, his glories or his effulgence becomes manifest as soon as a person becomes free from ishana. Ishana means here vasana, intense desire for sense gratification. This is called ishana, vasana, when one becomes free from this type of desire, material desire, immediately he becomes glorified, brilliant and shant, peaceful. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, who can become shant, peaceful? As long as we maintain, we have material desire, there is no question of shanti. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayava shant, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakalya shant. Krishna bhakta, a person who is Krishna conscious, only that person could be shant. Krishna bhakta nishkam. How Krishna bhakta becomes shant? Because he has no material desire, nishkam, he has no any desire for sense gratification. Otherwise, bhukti mukti siddhi kami, as long as we have desire for bhukti, material sense gratification, or mukti, freedom from repeated cycle of birth and death, that is called mukti. If we have desire for even for mukti, still there would be disturbance in our mind. We can't become peaceful. Either we have desire for material sense gratification, or we have desire for liberation, or even siddhi, some perfection in yoga. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakal yasam. As long as we have desire, there is no question of peace. So here Sukadeva Goswami described that because a saintly person has given his isna, desire for sense gratification, immediately he becomes shant, muni, silent, mukt kilvisha, and he is free from all sinful reaction. So here it is glorification of renunciation is there. Glorification of renunciation. Renunciation is very much glorified in Vedic literature. When we go in Vedic literature, we hear the story or pastime activity of different great personality, like saintly person, great kings. As soon as they give up everything and go in the forest, renounce all his kingdom, all his relative, and they go to the forest, that personality is very much glorified in Vedic literature. On account of their renunciation, they are glorified. And someone has collected many things remaining in the family life up to the end of the death, last breath of the death. That person is never glorified in Vedic literature. If someone gives up his family life, his position, everything, go in the forest, take shelter of Krishna, that person is very much glorified in Vedic literature. So, the clouds, he powers down everything, all his position, immediately the clouds become brilliant, effulgent. Similarly, when we give up all the desire for sense gratification, immediately our existence becomes purified, and then our effulgence, our glory become manifest. And then next verse, Girayaha Mumuchushtoyam Kvachinna Mumuchushivam Yatha Jnana Mritam Kale Jnaninu Dadate Nava. In a Saratkal, autumn season, in the rainy season, always water is flowing from the mountain, full of water. In every direction, water is flowing from the mountain. Giraya Mumuchushta. But in autumn and Saratkal, not that much water. Sometimes water flowing and sometimes doesn't flow. In autumn season, starts somewhere October, November. In India, main rainy season, heavy rains takes place in July and August. The 2 months, very heavy rainy. Part of July and part of, say, 15th of July up to the 15th of September. These 2 months is a rainy season. too much rain takes place, and then after that called Saratkal. Then Saratkal, there is scarcity of water, water becomes less and less, and then sometimes from the mountain water flows and sometimes doesn't flow. Kwachinna Munchu Sivam. For Shivam, he is purified of auspicious water. Rainy season water considered to be contaminated water. But as soon as rainy season comes, autumn season comes, immediately water becomes auspicious, pure. Here, word Sukadeva Goswami is Sivam, auspicious, Shubh. Yatha Jnana Mritam Kale Jnaninu Dadati Navar. As similarly, Yatha Jnana Mritam Kale Jnanina. The spiritualist, sometime he distributes his jnana, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and sometime he doesn't. When a spiritualist, yatha jnana mritam, here jnana, transcendental knowledge, is compared with amrit. Water is compared with auspicious, and jnana mrit, knowledge, relating to transcendent, any information relating to transcendental knowledge, that is called jnanamrit. So sometimes a jnani, perfect person, scientist, spiritual scientist, transcendentalist, sometimes he engages himself in preaching, delivers, enlightened the people, and sometimes he doesn't. So this is description of a jnani. Jnani is not always obliged to every single moment he speaks. Out of his sweet will, sometimes he engages himself in preaching activity and sometimes he doesn't practice. Here, because it is not possible always to get a qualified, a deserving personality. If he sees there is some deserving personality, there is some person, inquisitive person, then he speaks. Otherwise, he keeps silent. When he finds a proper place and circumstances, he becomes very much enthusiastic to preach. We know the very much incident about Jad Bharat. Usually, Jad Bharat did not speak publicly or any time. He was keeping silent. But he got opportunity when he happened to meet Maharaj Rahugan. Then he started to preach, started to enlighten him. Distributed transcendental knowledge. Though there was a very great risk, risk was also saying something, a politician, king, against his desire. It was really risky for Jad Bharat Maharaj. He might have lost his life even, but he took that risk even and he preached Jad Bharat, Rahugan, Raja Rahugan. So sometimes a jnani, transcendentalist, when he sees the proper time, proper circumstances, and he sees that person sitting in front of me is inquisitive, he's qualified person, he deserves to get the knowledge, be enlightened, then he speaks, otherwise he keeps silent. Yatha jnanamritam kyale jnanina dadate nava. Sometimes he gives the knowledge, enlightened, or sometimes he keeps silent. And similar incidents we see. Dattatreya, we know in Srimad Bhagavatam description twice is description even 11 that Dattatreya, he was lying on the bank of Kaveri River in middle of forest. Nobody was there, lying on the ground, dirt. His whole body was dirty, smeared with dust. And one time Prahlad Maharaj happened to go through that place, and as soon as Prahlad Maharaj recognized this personality, must be enlightened person, very transcendentalist knows, then Prahlad Maharaj inquired from him, and Prahlad Maharaj received knowledge from Dattatreya. And same Dattatreya, another time, 11th canto describes that Yadu Maharaj, when he was ruling that tract of land, and he found out the presence of Dattatreya, immediately he approached him and he got knowledge from him. So it is the nature of transcendentalist jnani. Sometimes he speaks and sometimes he keeps silence. Here in the purport he mentioned that a transcendentalist jnani person, he is very much closely associated with Paramatma. Paramatma as a super soul is residing in the heart of every living entity. And when the transcendentalist or jnani, a wise person, when he gets inspiration from Paramatma, then he speaks. He knows the will of desire of Paramatma. Paramatma is sitting in every heart of every single living entity. And he is very much closely associated, he is aware, he feels the presence of Krishna as Paramatma in the heart. And when Krishna as Paramatma, he gives inspiration, then he speaks, otherwise he keeps silent. So in these two verses, one, the glorification of renunciation is there, cloud, when powers, his wealth, water, distributes, immediately he becomes very much brilliant, effulgent. Similarly, when we give up, become renounce everything, especially material desire, immediately we become glorious. Our existence, our personality become glorious and effulgence. And next verse talks about nature of a transcendentalist quality. Not that always he is, since he has realized, so always he is very much enthusiastic to speak. When he sees the proper place, proper person, then he speaks, otherwise he keeps silent. So this happens because he gets inspiration from Paramatma. When Paramatma is inspiring him to speak, then he speaks, otherwise he keeps silent. And especially about the speaking, a transcendentalist, a jnani, is very much by nature he is compassionate. And to be compassionate, dayalu, means that we become unable to bear the distress of other living entity. He becomes unable, he feels very much disturbed, he sees the other person, other personality, other living entity suffering. So, out of compassion, he distributes transcendental knowledge. He could not retain that knowledge in within, because compassion forces him from within, then he speaks. And also Paramatma is there as a super soul, he is giving inspiration, and according the spiritualist speaks about transcendental knowledge. So here I stop. If you have any question or comment. Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Very nice class. I was wondering how we might apply this idea that sometimes we preach or sometimes we don't, depending upon the circumstance. As you said, generally the Vaishnavas are compassionate, and our instruction from Srila Prabhupada is, you know, to widely preach Krishna consciousness. So how do we practically apply, you know, when to speak, when not to speak?
But here, in the literature, Sukhdev Goswami describing Saratkal, and it is naturally when rainy season is almost finished, very less raining happening. Then mountain, especially say Giraj Govardhan, all otherwise the Mansi Ganga or then in river flowing water is coming in every direction from Giraj Govardhan. But when autumn season, Saratkal, less water, every single stream is not existing, some become dry. And sometimes it flows and some doesn't flow. Sometimes it happens, rain also sometimes. Maybe once a week or once in 2 weeks sometime rain, then it starts. So Sukhdeva Goswami took this, that water in autumn season sometimes flowing and sometimes not flowing. So he said, jnanina yatha, similarly, jnani, spiritualist, dadate nava, sometimes he gives the knowledge, dadate gives knowledge, and sometimes he gives silence. So, Of course, out of compassion, we are expecting that if he have compassion, every single moment he should engage himself in preaching work. If the compassion impels him, force him from within, no, you can't sit in your room. The people are suffering outside. So generally a sadhu, a transcendentally, is expected, supposed to, he should be always in preaching, always enlightening, helping people in general. sometimes, because not the always preaching, sometimes his personal practices also, sadhana is also there, has to give importance to his personal sadhana also. For that reason, he should keep some time for his, otherwise he will be exhausted health-wise, physically, mentally, and maybe due to excessive association with materialists. He may be contaminated, or due to excessive association, too much association with materialists, we may develop appreciation for sense gratification. In previous ages, we know that mostly saintly persons, they want to self-realization, immediately they went to forest. They went in forest for two reasons. One reason, because always if you are materialist, always with them, their family, their furniture and their opulence of house and everything, we go there every single day. It is risky there, with we may become attracted to those facilities, sense gratification. Like Sauvari Rishi, when Prabhupada talked about some failure Rishi, he talks then of Vishwamitra and Sauvari. The Sauvari was associating with fishes and they were engaged in sense gratification. Immediately he developed attraction for. So if you are too much every single day, every moment we are middle of materialism, we are preaching, enthusiastic preaching, then risk is there that we may be attracted for one, for ourselves. And other reason, when the sadhu goes for preaching, there are many materialist people come to him and they come full of blessing. Oh, please bless me. Are they put their palm, you know the astrology, please tell me. So this is also very disturbance. You are sitting for your bhajan and some people come, they have many problem and they think that a sadhu, by the blessing of the sadhu, I will be completely free from problem. They bother the sadhu. Go and they come and the please read and this family that maybe a story this happening, the vastu sasa, this and that. So two reasons. From our side, the risk is there. We may develop appreciation for sense gratification. Our people will come and disturb you. So sometime we should keep for ourselves. Not like 24 hours for others. So sometime, of course, at least morning, evening, we are doing. It's not very much. The problem is there that devotees are not going out for preaching. This is not problem that they are not remaining. This is problem that the host of joins our society. He likes to sit in the temple and chant personal practices. So for this reason, always not every single moment in preaching, the risk is there. And of course I don't deserve to say this thing. Maybe I have heard, this is not my personal experience, that many book distributors, top book distributors, always distributing books from morning up to midnight, that did not maintain that attitude of bhakti. They left our society. So that risk was there. So we should keep some time for ourselves. Yeah, this is also my question. If I am sitting here, then I am answering. If I will sit yesterday, tomorrow, then maybe I will ask the same question. Here, in the purport, it is mentioned that transcendentalist is closely connected, associated with Paramatma who is sitting in the heart. So sometimes Paramatma gives him inspiration to go preach, then he preaches. And sometimes he gives inspiration, okay, now time for your personal practice, then it sits.
Marsh, you were speaking about the purification that's necessary for the different ashrams. Mm. What is that purification?
And previous verse talk about all the four ashramas, and especially talks about disturbances. Some inconvenient for the brahmachari there, some inconvenient disturbance in householder life, some inconvenience and disturbance vanaprastha, some inconvenience and disturbance sannyasi. So here the verse talks about purification. By engaging in devotional service, we become purified on all disturbances. Gojar. So purification means, see, originally we are part and parcel of Krishna, Atma. Absolutely it is pure. There is no question of becoming yoga. Atma never becomes impure. But impurity, it is covered. Like gold, it doesn't become impure. Pure gold is gold. But from outer surface, some dust is there. Due to that dust, that is dirty thing, dust and soil, earth, it effulgence, its glory is covered. So what is the impurity of soul? That is considered, Vedic literature describes that when we come in touch with material existence, immediately we develop a desire for sense gratification. Purification means freedom from desire for sense gratification. This is called purification. As soon as we become purified, immediately our glories, our effulgence become manifest. So impurity means desire or appreciation for sense gratification. That it immediately it is removed and then becomes situated in our real position. And that with certain sort, see, if gold, of course, gold doesn't become impure, but somehow it become impure, then put in the fire. Immediately our impurity goes away. So our impurity, ashuddhi, that is, we have developed desire, intense desire for sense gratification. As soon as we engage in devotional service, or that impurity goes away. So purification means freedom from sense gratification, desire for sense gratification. Okay, Mataji.
Thank you, Maharaj. Sometimes when you want to transition from one state to the other state...
I could not properly hear.
Sorry, can you hear? When you transition from the Grihastha state to the... What's the other state called? The next? Vanaprastha?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes the practitioner becomes very proud to be preaching. Then in leaving his wife, sometimes he gets confused or gets caught and is pulled again, and then happens this cloud, no? How you say service will clear him out, but what service? Because there is a particular example that I have. And so he is doing service in the temple, but he is extremely clouded by a false ego, and he needs to purify. And I don't know if it's proper for me to say something to him. How can that be resolved?
Precisely I could not understand what you were asking. However, the impurity of a vanaprastha. So the previous text in 34, it describes sarada nirjotpatya nirani, sorry, vyomna abhram bhut savalyam bhuva pankam apam malam sarad jahar sraminam krishne bhaktir yatha shubham. So previous Sukadeva Goswami said that any problem and every problem, if it either from brahmachari, grihast or sannyas or vanaprastha or sannyas, if he engage himself, Samina Krishna bhakti yathashubham bhakti. If we seriously engage ourselves in devotional service, then all problem relating to brahmachari, grihast, vanaprastha and sannyasis goes away. So that is also anartha, like too much pride. This is also one symptom and that when we engage ourselves in devotional service, immediately one characteristic develops in personality, that is humility. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the very important associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who resided on the bank of Radhakund in Vrindavan, he talks about himself. He says, literally, that if someone hears my name, if someone will hear name of Krishnadas Kaviraj, then what? Immediately, all his piety will go away. Whatever you have earned, the stock of puni is there. If someone utters the name of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, if that sound enters your ear, immediately you will lose all your credit of piety. Pune, immediately. And if someone utters the name of Krishnadas, he says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, immediately he will become filled with sinful reaction. He will be loaded with sinful reaction. By hearing, whatever you have, piety, stock, you will lose. It will finish. And if you utter the name of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, immediately you will be loaded with all sinful reaction. Associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita, such a wonderful, living in the on the bank of Radha Kund in Giriraj, Vrindavan, he talks about in this fashion. It means that not that we should literally accept the no, then I should not utter the name of Krishnadas Kaviraj, otherwise I will be loaded with all forms of. This is humility. So this is also one symptom. If I am progressing in Krishna consciousness or not, how can I know whether humility is coming in my existence or not? If we are becoming pride, certainly we are not progressing in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti is not there. We may dress ourselves as sannyasi, vanaprastha, grihastha, anything. We may wear nice tilak and everything. But if humility is not developing in our personality, then our personality is questionable. Whether we are making progress, most likely not. So pride is not appreciated. Proud, I have taken sannyas, I am vanaprastha, I give up my association of wife and everything, I am free from. If these attitudes come in the mind, it means certainly there is no progress. There may be some degradation is there. Okay, I think this is the project. Usually 9 o'clock class will finish.
Hare Krishna. Recently, I've been studying in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. And in that verse, those verses, it gives these qualities of real knowledge: humility, pridelessness, self-control, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. So when I'm reading these qualities, sometimes I realize how I've tried to do these things and where I'm failing. And in that way, I can see my faults, and similarly, I can see those faults in other people. And when I see them in other people, I'm reminded that Krishna is showing me my very own faults. So
still we consider to be better to see our own pride.
Yes.
If you are looking other pride, then it is not very much appreciated. That is, we should not dare to see.
So since I'm trying to overcome some of these things, it's like a carnival ride.
Yeah.
And one of those things is to approach a bona fide spiritual master. And sometimes I see...
First, we want to remove their bad quality. Then we should recognize, okay, here they exist. Most of the time, we are not aware. All anartha is there, when we don't know. But if we become aware, we identify, this bad quality is there, then it becomes... The first we have to detect that. It should be detected. As soon as it is detected, the power of bad quality becomes weak, and it will be easy to remove. So first we have to recognize, detect, this is fault, this is bad quality and existing in me. Okay, so here I should start. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar ji ki.